Welcome to Entrepreneurs of Playbook. I'm David Meltzer, and sometimes dreams do come true. There's dream keepers and dream stealers, and these two gentlemen are dream keepers of mine, both on and off the field. They've been friends of mine for years, and I want to welcome two of the greatest running backs ever to play the game. Hearts bigger than even Steven Jackson is, but Steven Jackson and Austin Ekeler, thanks for joining me.
Thank you. I appreciate you having us on.
This is super.
It's like a running. This is a special episode right here.
Marshall Faulk was here. We'd really blow it out.
Right.
Except for he's jealous of Steven because he holds all the Rams records. He does. Most people don't know. But to that end, you know, we have different pieces of careers right here. And we were talking about post career. You're coming in the next few years to the end of your career. And one of the things I never was jealous about playing professional football, which was my dream, was that I knew it was limited to the amount of time. The stuff that I do today, I'm only going to get better and people are going to pay me more for. What I do today, it's almost a benefit to be old. You know, they start hiring you because you're Uncle Dave, you know. And then it'll be Grandpa Dave. Oh, we need like a grandpa up here. I'm like, perfect. I want to talk about the attachment to an outcome of a dream, right? We dream these dreams, and you guys have been blessed to fulfill a dream that most people never get to fulfill, and it comes to an end. You are on the other side of that, and now you have other dreams. Right. And Austin, you know that your dream of playing NFL football is going to come to an end. How do you deal with the end of a linear dream that does expire because of what other circumstances there are? And I'm going to start with Steven and also maybe give a little bit of advice to Austin as he comes to the latter days of his career.
Great question. You know, Austin and I were talking about, before we came on air, we were just talking in the back about his playoff run this past year with the new team. And I was asking, well, like, what was your experience with the new team? Because the team that drafts you or the team that signs you to your first contract, there's a sense of loyalty. There's a sense of, like, family. You're like, I'm just going to stay here. And then eventually, you know, us running backs, we get pushed aside, right? And you become an uncle at 25. You're like, whoa, wait a minute.
Thanks.
Right. So, you know, leading into your question about separating the identity from living a dream is really hard. And for those that are familiar with my career, I had long hair, I had long locks. So the day I decided to retire, that was the first thing I did. I cut my hair. I just wanted to change that identity. How I saw myself, how the world saw me, how I wanted to be received was completely different than those past 12 years as a professional running back. So for me, it was first looking in the mirror and seeing a new me. And then from there, I just stepped out. It's a walk-in and process. Some days were great. You know, you look and you see the guys on TV and you're like, I'm happy I don't live that life anymore. And then there's other times you turn on a game, you see Austin running and scoring his touchdown and doing those celebrations. You're like, I really do miss that, you know? It's ebbs and flows, but that's life, you know, and that's life. But for me, it started with the man in the mirror and just changing that the way I saw myself.
Any advice for Austin?
You know, I think he's doing it. He's walking it out. And that is being present, being where his feet are, you know, in the stadium, making sure that he acknowledges that those people are there to see him perform at the highest level. And they're in there, you know, despite what beat writers may say or what stat lines may be, I think it's important to remind yourself that you're elite. You're one of 32, you know. And I will always say I was proud of being one of 32. There's only 32 jobs, and there's only two available spots. But you have that. Mm-hmm. So be proud of that, relish that, live in that. But also when you step away, I don't think you not do this, but just a reminder is when you turn on that tape, never be disappointed in the effort that you put out there. But you play the game right. So regardless of how it ends for you, I think you're doing it, and you're writing your story the way it should be, and that's the way you're doing it.
I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
And Austin, how does it feel to you as you –
Yeah,
become more of the business of sports too when it comes to the end?
Well, transitioning into that, I think going back to your original thought of, you know, seeing that outcome or, you know, living through that outcome, I really take life as kind of a chapter, and each kind of segment of my life is the chapter. And I see this chapter as kind of like an open book, because when I first got into the NFL, you know, sixth string on the depth chart, undrafted, really didn't know what to expect, and had an opportunity to play, had been taking advantage of it. And so that book is still being written. Now it's 9 years later. So I know that end chapter's coming here soon. But again, that's a chapter in my whole book of my life that will continue to come to close, and I'll appreciate it for what it was. I'm sure I'll want it to be longer whenever it ends, you know, like you were saying. But for me, it's continuing to write it as it continues to come. And then when it is closed, I know that's the start of something new. And that's why I've always been so proactive, is because I don't want that something new to have to wait for something to end. For me, it's like, how can I continue to be proactive? And that's why, you know, Dave, you know, all the stuff I have going on, just continuing to try to build stuff, continue to try to push new things out into the world that I feel like can make an impact in a special way. So that's what my end chapter for football has kind of looked like, but then also opening new ones going forward.
One of the things I'm always curious about, and I got to be a part of as a sports agent, a sports marketer, a sports consultant, and now entrepreneur, coach to athletes, is the relationship to money. Because I always found it fascinating to combine what you love to do, that which you would do for free, and then start to realize that, hey, I have to also maximize my economic opportunity here in everything I do, not just on the field, but off the field. And I always love to see that evolution of athletes as they start to realize, you know, maybe when their dream team that gave them a chance from six on the depth chart now is basically saying, dude, you're just a contract. Like, we appreciate you, yeah, but there's somebody else the community will appreciate and the team will appreciate.
Right.
You know, adios. Now you have a different relationship to money. It gives you a different stance on what you're going to do. Doesn't mean you're not going to work as hard and do your best on the field, but you also realize, maybe I should maximize the economics of either what I'm doing today playing or the agency that exists after you playing. And a lot of guys were too shameful to, and they're the kindest and nicest guys, ended up finishing last in the old days because it was hard to convince a Tony Gwynn to go to the Yankees because he could make three times the money, because he felt like San Diego loved him. How does that resonate with you, Steven?
I think you're right, but also I just think the times have changed. You know, growing up, a lot of the sports stars that I watched stayed with one or two teams, and that might be because of free agency, or that's just the way things were. But now I believe with NIL, you got all these youth leagues growing up. A lot of the athletes play together against one another from like middle school on up. So the relationships are there. They don't mind, you know, cross-pollinating with a different league or a different team. Where for us, you know, it was like, hey, no, I'm a Oregon State Beaver, and now I'm a St. Louis Ram, and that's just what it is. I think it's not as regimented as that. And I don't think fans are, you know, as holding on to players like they are. And I think now, you know, now it's, people get that people are building brands and transaction happens.
It's interesting you say that, because like in an energetic sense, yeah, fantasy did the same thing for the sport as well.
For sure.
Right? It used to be, I am a fan of the San Diego Chargers. Now it's, I love Austin Ekeler. I love Steven Jackson. I love this quarterback.
Yeah.
And these relationships. So I believe it's a consciousness too that's changed.
You're right.
But Austin, I'm sure after your first contract and your first team, your relationship to money changed.
Absolutely. And I think you have to look at it from the perspective of the athlete, you know, and you mentioned, hey, there's a business side of this, and that's why we hire an agent to take care of the business side. But us as an athlete, like, we're going to do the best we can on the field. And so that doesn't always mean we're thinking about the biggest contract. We're thinking about playing the game. And so that loyalty comes in because you feel like, hey, I got an opportunity with this team. They gave me a shot to get on that field and put on that helmet and have that opportunity to play. And that's really what we're looking for. The money is, yes, absolutely part of the game as well. But when it comes to maximizing it and getting every penny you can, that's strong business professional side, which is not necessarily what we are professional in. You know, we're professional in playing. So you do get that crossover of the emotional side of us playing the game with the business side of our agent saying, hey, we should go over here because we can get more money. But again, every scenario is different. Do you actually care enough to stay with this team because you feel like there's some type of loyalty there enough that you're like, you know, I'll give up some off the top because this team is only offering this? It's a situation by situation thing. And I've heard running backs, you know, over the years say like, oh, you know, I'm not greedy or anything like that. And I'm always like, no, don't ever say that out loud. Like, don't ever say that you'll take a pay cut. You know, even if you are like, hey, I love this team, say that instead. You know, don't ever say, hey, you don't put yourself at a disadvantage, because on their business side, that's how the NFL has stayed around for so long, because these guys are professional businessmen, and they're in the business of entertainment, and it happens to be through football. So for us, maximize it. But, you know, if there is a place where you're really loyal to, I can see the scenarios that have played out where you want to stay in one place, but definitely try to maximize, because your chapter will end. So yeah, that's kind of how is it.
The reality is you only have 2.5 years at average. Running back.
Yep.
On average, the average unless career for running like back. Right?
Or you're the strongest guy in the
NFL. Right? So if you already know your window's only 2.5 years and you have that window to maximize your dollars, and you don't also think about the other guys around the league, we're all depending on each other. So your contract's going to stand up for the next guy, and then you set the new market. So what Austin is saying is absolutely true. You know, you can want to stay around, but at some point, dollars and cents got to speak to you, and you got to think about the guys behind you, because we all do this because we love the game for somebody we admired before us.
Now, I'm much older than both of you, so I've been around the game as an executive for a long time and been around guys like Bobby Bell, who had to drive a cab on the off season just so he could afford to live because he loved playing football. Now, one of the other interesting nuances with the dollars as you get later on in your career becomes this aspect of a Super Bowl win or going to a Super Bowl. And I see a lot of guys in NBA and NFL especially making business decisions because they feel as if they've made enough money in their career, but they don't want to leave their career without that special experience of winning a Super Bowl or at least going to one. In your experience today, what percentage of people, and this is an estimate, I love to ask percentages under the context that my favorite statistic is 99% of all statistics are made up. Make up one for me, because I'm just curious what you think. If a player has made enough money and is financially secure, maybe even generational wealth from the money they made, how important is today in the NFL winning a Super Bowl or at least going to one?
Shane, as opposed to
making the most money.
Wow, I think it's tough because I think the percentage changes throughout your career, because I think there's a hierarchy of when you're young, maximize money potential. Like, you don't care if you're on the worst team, the best team.
Right.
How do I maximize my money? Because I have none.
Timing and risk.
You know, so right. When early in your career, it's a small percentage. Like you want it. It's still a percentage on the board. Don't get me wrong, but you're trying to maximize for yourself and your security in the league. Once you get past that, yeah, it can get bigger, but I still say it's less than that 50% range. Like, mm-hmm. You're still going to maximize, in my opinion, the dollars. Or there's going to be a dollar amount that you're willing to sacrifice to make that percentage, you know, go down. I think, Garrett, what's his name? Miles Garrett.
Yeah,
was a perfect example. Was like, hey, I'm trying to get out, $40 million a year. All right, I'm staying. You know, like, wait a minute, all right, that's a good number. You know, right. So I think there's always, I think the priority will always be the financial security. And then that Super Bowl, although we all want it, is going to be smaller from an individual standpoint. Now, if you took up a team, 100% Super Bowl, right? Paid to get the Super Bowl. But at an individual standpoint, I would say it's around 10-15%. If I want to give you a number.
Any guesses from your generation what the percentage was, how important going to or winning a Super Bowl was?
I would say, you know, my generation, before the collective bargaining agreement changed in 2010, right? Because Sam Bradford, we drafted Sam. And it was a big uproar about giving him that big lump sum guaranteed money, and things changed. And then you have Cam Newton in 2011 going
which
forward.
Which is our guy.
Right. So before 2010, I would say it was very important. I would say probably over half the locker room wanted to win the Super Bowl. I think people thought about legacy. I think individuals thought about maybe even their run at a Hall of Fame. You know, all these things on the resume that you need to check off to have to be a part of that small group. But I think now, to Austin's point, I think guys are thinking about money. And I think, one, we have podcasts like this that informs us that we have a long life after football. But also, I believe that we don't have any guaranteed insurance. There's things that as a retired athlete, you start thinking about, like, whoa, that is really important. That, you know, I'm only 32 years old and now I have the rest of my life to take care of myself and my family. Those things become a lot more important for yourself. And you start thinking about, well, maybe I should try to see if I can get another, you know, bite at the apple.
For sure. And you said it too, because 2.5 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you win a Super Bowl and that, awesome. But you have a lot more life. If that's your whole career, 2.5 years, yeah. and you won a Super Bowl and never maybe got to the next career, like I would say, yeah, the more kind of prevalent thing in our minds as athletes, right. especially nowadays with yeah. all the education out there, is making sure you solidify yourself. No doubt we all want to win a Super Bowl, absolutely. 100%. But there's a hierarchy of kind of personal wants that we'd rather have, you know, before that.
Yeah, if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of others.
Correct. And
a lot of times the most generous, kind people end up in a zero-sum game where they give more than they receive. And I promise you, no matter who you are, how generous or kind you are, which I tried to notably live my life in that respect, I still put myself first to receive, because I can only give what I have.
Right.
And I saw my mom and so many other athletes who I admire for their generosity and kindness. They give everything and take less back, and they feel bad about receiving, and they end up, I promise you, you give more than you take back, you'll end up at zero sooner or later. It's a zero sum game that I'm trying to shift that paradigm. Just to finish up, there's a lot more opportunity though after you're done playing today in business. There's a lot more opportunity if you take advantage of the opportunity. There's so many different resources to use, the agency of being a former NFL player, but while you're playing as well. What's your number one business priority today beyond playing? Because obviously that will take priority. I know both of you live your life making sure it's a non-negotiable. You're going to be ready to play in the best you can be on the field. But off the field, there's different business ventures that you guys are involved with. I'll start with you, Stephen. What's your priority for business today?
Right now it's giving back into others. So I own a trade school, the original barber school here in town in Las Vegas, Nevada. And with that, we have between 40 to 50 students, helping them find a career path and like becoming licensed barbers. A lifestyle brand attached to it, the obsbrand.com. You could go and support us that way. But I feel that I almost feel like a coach or a GM. These young people come into our school, they not quite sure what they want to do in life, but you know they need to do something, and we help them find a career skill set that they have. Is one they could do for a couple of years till they find another career. It could be something they could do for a lifetime, but it's something that gives them a purpose in life. And that's what I kind of feel that even when I stepped away from football, is that I always wanted to have an attachment of a purpose to the identity. So I'm very grateful for that, as well as just being able to speak life into young people. You know, I really believe that a lot of people, you turn on the news, you turn on anything, form of content, it seemed to be negative. So the more I can speak life and speak into people's lives to be better for themselves and strive, now no matter what they're going through, that's gonna be okay. That's, you know, that's the deposits that I need daily.
That's beautiful.
That is. We need more energy of forward thinking out there, man. So I'm right in there next to you, too. I'm really focusing on community building. That's kind of been my thing for the past like 5-6 years now. And I'm in kind of in a new venture where I'm utilizing fantasy football to help raise money for NFL players' charities. Nice. And so it's about bringing the community. There's already communities around fantasy football. There's communities that these players have already created, too, around their foundation. So, again, just community focus, continuing to help you basically leverage our platform even more, yeah. In a way that's easy for the guys to take advantage of, and then also make more of an impact on the field. So continue to put forward thinking thoughts and forward energy into the communities is really what I'm focusing on right now as well.
Three of my favorite quotes apply to both of you, which is why you're both two of my favorite people that I've met in my unbelievable journey. One, you're either humble or you're about to be. Two, be more interested than interesting. And then finally, the one that applies the most in my mind is to be kind to your future self and do good deeds. You can do well and do good. Look at Austin Eckler and Steven Jackson. Thank you both for blessing me and giving me an opportunity to share with our community to hopefully inspire them to do their best, learn lessons, and have fun. This is an incredible day here at SiriusXM Studios at the Wynn in Las Vegas with two of my favorite people, Steven Jackson, Austin Eckler. Thank you for joining me. I'm David Meltzer. This is Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.